I once worked with a gentleman who was the janitor of the building I worked in. It was a government building. He had 7 children, and he played the lotto like many people do. And so one day he won $25,000. And he kept playing the lotto, and about, I don't know, 2 months later, he won $250,000. This was in 1985. Now, he was happy as could be. He felt so blessed. And all he wanted was to buy a farm in South Carolina and move with his wife. I didn't mention he had 7 children, right? I ran into him one day, and he looked sad. So I said, "What's wrong? What's going on?" And he said, "I wish I never had won this money. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to me." He said, "I have all these accountants and these lawyers, and I have to pay all these taxes, and I'm all confused about all of this legal stuff." He said, "But worst of all, my children," he had 7, but most of them were older. He only had, I think, 1 or 2 that were young. "They were all fighting amongst each other about how much money they were going to get and so on and so forth." And he said, "And my wife now doesn't want a farm in South Carolina. She wants a house in the suburbs." And finally, he told me, "And all these relatives I never knew I had are coming out of the woodwork." So he decided to go back to work because he needed peace and quiet. He said the worst thing that ever happened was winning that money. You know, there are many similar stories of people that win the lotto in the news, where they win the money and then things become very difficult and they end up in a nightmare. In fact, studies have shown that within 5 years, 85% of people who win lottery lose everything. Psalms 127 basically tells us that unless God builds our consciousness, we are wasting our time in building consciousness. When we build our consciousness, we are doing it according to human standards and human beliefs. These standards and beliefs are based on the ups and downs, limitations, and the existence of good and evil. Human consciousness believes what appears to be true. The material, which is everything that we see, and it also believes only that which comes through the 5 senses. The God consciousness is eternal. It is the one good. It fills all. It is perfect and complete, and is filled with love and power and wisdom and joy and everything that is of the absolute one. In order to know our true self, a spiritual being, we are to seek God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. In the Bible, there are a number of passages which encourage us to seek God. And one of them says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul." In Jeremiah, it says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart." To seek God does not mean that we go around the world looking for him, as some people have done. Although that's probably not a bad thing. Maybe that trip can also get you to where you need to be with God. God lives within us. He is part of our being. So God is found within ourselves. "For behold, the kingdom of God is within you," as we are told in Luke. So the first thing that we need to do is to stop looking for God or for our good outside of ourselves. We need not go to mountaintops or special locations on earth, for where we stand is holy ground. Now this is so because God is found in everyone, in everything, in every place. All we need and want or desire is first found within ourselves, and then it is manifested in the external. It is in God's temple that we commune with Him, and it is in His temple that all is found. But God's temple is not a building or a place, for the temple of God also resides within us. Corinthians ask us, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" We are told that our body is the temple of the living God, created by God, and is eternal in life and spirit, soul, and in substance. God is the creator of things that are made. He is the only creator, as we are already one with His presence. We are of God. Not that we are a God, but God made us in His nature and in His spirit. The human being and human body is not eternal. Now, we already know this because we have known or experienced sickness and death of human bodies. Disease and death are of the human experience. They are not of God. When we live from a human sense of life, we put our trust and faith in changing values and the power of good and evil that appears. However, when we live from a spiritual sense of life, we can enjoy what comes our way, understanding that the eternal divine substance is the truth of all form. It is when we live from a spiritual sense of life that we are able to see beyond the appearances to experience the invisible and see God as the principle of all life. Who we truly are is spiritual, for it is the Spirit which is life everlasting. This human body and mind will disappear once we live consistently from the Christ consciousness and not from the limited consciousness of the material living. Abundance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The revealing word defines abundance as ideas and consciousness of the omnipresent supply of the one mind with infinite capacity for expanding. Did you know that you have all the supply and the abundance that you will ever need? All that we already desire and want is already in us. God created us complete and whole. We already have everything. But to have realization, we first must seek, turn to God over and over and over again. For God to be known and the fruits of the Spirit to be revealed and experienced. Turning to God must be constant if our consciousness is to open up so that the Christ can take over as our guide, advisor, and director. But more importantly, our desire to know God must be sincere. Listen to what it says in Chronicles. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee." It is in our hearts that our true beliefs and thoughts are found. For the heart does not lie. Our heart is our feeling nature. That which we believe to be true comes from our hearts. God will know even that which we whisper. We cannot hide from God. Perhaps we we can fool others and maybe even fool ourselves, but we can't fool God of our true feelings and beliefs. When we express any emotion, it is coming straight from the feeling center, our heart. When we say we want to seek God and know Him, we need to be clear what our motive and or our goal is, for the heart will always know. If there is any trace of wanting to know God so that we can make a better living out here in the world, then we are wasting our time. You've heard it said many times from this pulpit, God cannot do for us what He didn't already do from the beginning. God's kingdom is established. He doesn't need to do anything to it's His kingdom. Now, not only is His kingdom already perfect, but it is also ours this very second. Right now, you and I have the kingdom of God. But because we are in experiencing His kingdom does not mean that it is not real. I understand that for many people, the world of spirit seems ambiguous, far away, and maybe a bit Pollyannish. It maybe seems unrealistic, almost like Alice in Wonderland. If we can't feel it, see it, hear it, taste it, or even smell it, it doesn't seem real. This world that we live in, we've created with our beliefs and attachments to it. Technology has grown because we believe it is the answer to many problems. Life experiences have shown that technology and inventions have made our day-to-day life a bit easier. It has made the world more accessible and closer to us, so we invest more and more time and attention to it. Yet, with all of the inventions and gadgets and technology, we still can't figure out how to show love and live in peace and harmony, or to have abundance and wholeness. As a society, we believe that hate and fear and greed will be with us forever. It is still a world of competition and separation. Many don't even utter the word God, for they fear they will be ridiculed or ostracized. But if we remember what Jesus said, I of my own self can do nothing. It is the Father within who doeth the works. This is the beginning in turning to God. For we seek Him to know Him, not to get things from Him. What we really want is to be lifted entirely above the human level of life to an awareness of God's eternal life. For the only life we have is God's life. In reality, there is no other life, no other being. So while we can enjoy whatever good comes our way, we must not hold on to it, for if we do, it may get in the way of our knowing and experiencing the glory of God. When we have the realization of God as the only principle that is the underlying cause of all, we then understand that all that exists is of the eternal substance, and therefore it is immortal. This is spiritual awareness and constitutes spiritual understanding, which means God's understanding. Once we have this understanding, we will never lose our body or abundance or peace or joy or love or wisdom or harmony. For God's manna will be with us to the degree that we seek Him and turn to Him. During the Last Supper, Jesus said, "This is that bread which came down from heaven. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Manna is the bread of life, the word of God. Manna represents the realization that the divine substance is everywhere present, in every part of consciousness. To have God's manna. We must be still. We must still our thoughts and quiet the emotions of the material world. We must practice the presence of God so that we may experience His oneness. In this oneness, we will find that all that we need and want and desire is there for us. In reality, there is no fear, only a freedom that is accompanied by joy, for the presence is known in our soul and in our hearts. It is then that we can truly say, Father, let your will be done in me. When we turn to the Christ, our whole world begins to change, because it is then that we realize that we're not alone. Writers, poets, and even scientists tell us that the only real journey of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes to see the reality of our being, which is a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe. Let us be still and see God in action. It is this divine spirit that lives within us. The presence is the divine grace and power of all. When we turn to God, let us remember what Paul said. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me. God loves us with eternal love. It is His pleasure to give us His divine abundance. And so it is. Will you join me in making this lesson practical? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Place your feet flat on the ground. Let go of whatever has consumed your attention. It is in stillness and quietness that we let go of fear. It is in stillness and quietness that we let go of all the challenges and all the problems. We turn to God with faith and trust, for He is the one power, one activity, and the one life. Our life is God. For He is the one and only Divine Spirit. Let us turn deep within where the Spirit of God is found. There is no darkness, only God's light. Let us live in the now of this moment, knowing, as a child of God, we need not fear anything. As our relationship with God unfolds, His love is revealed and manifested in all that we experience. Let us be still. Father, your spirit is our spirit. We are ever grateful for your truth and light guiding us to your house, where God revealed in consciousness opens up to a consciousness of eternal love, peace, and harmony. For this, your spiritual understanding, we give you thanks and we say, Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord lifts your consciousness and gives you his eternal life. Amen.